All right. You know what day it is, and this is Mission Possible. It's Sunday. It's 12 o'clock on the East Coast. It's 9 o'clock on the West Coast, and it's 6 o'clock right here on the Big Island. Let me give you a little music here. This is a song that was written back in 1991 by yours and all the people of Brown Rice Babies, written by Maria. This is called Shipwreck. Let's listen to a little bit of it.
Keep down your breath. Drowning, drowning on that lazy ship. Shipwreck, and lost without a lot, without a name. Drowning, drowning on that beautiful ship. No need to tell you who to blame.
Boss. This is the boss, and tonight we're going to be talking about what's going on, the real reality, the color of your money. Oh my goodness, you know, well, for all the spiritual psychic type peoples, you know, what do we need with money? But for those of us who get up in the morning and go to work every morning and get a paycheck, money is very important. And for those of you who have those subprime loans and are paying on the interest and not on the principal and seem to have all kinds of woes and goes, yes, money is very important. And money is very important to this here Bush administration, too, trying to take all the money they can away from us to pay for something that we never asked for, although we did, with Congress's help, give them a blank check. Oh, my goodness. Did anybody check out Dennis on Jay Leno? Oh, is he just elegant? Is he just too much? Oh, my goodness. Everybody go to YouTube and check it out. We're talking about a candidate with grace. Oh, yes. And they can talk about him if they want to, but they got to deal with Dennis. This is what we're going to force them to do. There's enough good people out here. What Dennis I'm talking about? I'm not talking about Dennis the Menace. Oh, no, I'm talking about Dennis Kucinich. Yes. Yes. I met him. I felt him. I hugged him. I got close enough to know that he is genuine. Put him up against Ron Paul, and definitely we can show the world that we have an electoral process that works. Oh, it's the only way to go, folks. The Unity Campaign. Yes, everybody, sign up, Democrat, Republican. Just register. That's what I think is the most important thing for you to do. If you register as to one of the parties, then you can participate in the most exciting part of our what's left of the democracy. Now, I know back in 1992, I saw that things were changing. Yes, yes. I saw things changing. I saw the Democrats weren't getting out to vote, you know. They were not using the money to get the people out to vote. It was as if the fix was in. They were so sure that they was going to kick Bush's butt that they didn't even bother to ask us for our vote. They didn't even bother to court us for our vote. Said, we don't need the black vote. We got Vernon Jordan. We got all sold up. You just do as you're told. You see, and I know that the Democrats understand what I'm talking about when they talk about that Clinton campaign back in 1992. It was not a campaign at all. Talk about strange bedfellows, married couples running both campaigns. Didn't anybody see it? And let me tell you something. I'm really on Cheney tonight. Tonight I'm going to spend some time showing you all why it is important that we use the process and that we force Nancy Pelosi to do her job. Now, it's easy for her not to do her job because it'll unravel like a cheap suit. And where she is in all of it, and she is guilty of omission. So's Dianne Feinstein, or Stein. She's guilty of omission. You all have to remember who these politicians were and in what periods they served or disserved their beloved state, so to speak, and district, you see. You can't say California without saying correction. And that's exactly what's coming for California, a big correction, you see. It's no secret that you ended up with Schwarzenegger in your office, you see. It's important for you to understand this. I got a lingo over here. You got a Schwarzenegger over there. And we got a Bush in the White House. Now, I don't cast aspersions on people, but I know that there are people out here that are still kind of pissed that we didn't win, you know, that we won the war, the Revolutionary War I'm talking about. We ain't won too many wars since then. And you really got to understand that War of 1812, or you shouldn't do your homework. Go study it. Do a paper on it. Then you'll see exactly what was going on. And then all through that time with the clipper ships and the opium and the bar, that was all, well, that's China's problem. Well, that's the coolies' problem. Well, that's the Indians' problem. Well, that's this, that, this, that. And the whole idea of this country being an ever-expanding. Well, look how it's expanding, folks. We've now all been joined up in the North American Union. Ain't nobody asking us anything. How you feel about being lumped in with everybody else after we done gone to all this trouble to be what? Original? Yeah. Well, America, this is the boss. Boss RJ, that's right, and this is Mission Possible. And I say these things to you because you have decisions to make. And that's the most important thing for you to understand. And good decisions can only be based on experience and a good analytical mind that is able to look at all the facts. But see, not all the facts are out. You see, you really got to understand something. If they won't even let you know what your president's college transcripts were, why is it that this nobody seems to, they say it's none of our business what kind of students they were, what they studied in school. You know, I need to deal with the truth. I need to deal with these journalists. I need to deal with Bill Moyers. You know, I still got an axe to grind about him. You know, he was right there, that whole thing with LBJ. And it ain't like I'm excusing him of being an assassin, you know, pulling the trigger or anything like that. But again, I'm talking about this omission, and Bill omits a lot of that whole error as to how he behaved as a journalist and what he was asked to do. And I'd love to be able to talk to Bill Moyers about that memo and about what Johnson said and what Hoover said. And didn't he at all think that any of that was strange? You see. That's what we're dealing with here, folks. We're dealing with people who are scared to death to tell you the truth, because then they're going to say, well, why didn't you tell us before? You see. These people are scared to death that we're going to hurt them because we find out the truth. And see, that's where God come in. Because, see, I don't want to hurt nobody. It's just that I don't want any more lies and no more additions to the lies, no more revisions. This is why it's so important. I'm going to Sedona. I'm going to be talking to some people. Talking to some people about food. Talking to people about truth. Talking to people about spirituality. And talking to you about the love code. I'm going to Sedona to promote the book, Love the Real Da Vinci Code. I'm going to Sedona to support my main cousin, Dr. Len Horowitz. That's right. I can't tell you enough how much this man makes me feel good. Even though the news is so bad, you know, I have a friend, her name is Rose Fiji, and she has a husband, and he's been going down there and sitting in on those. He's a scientist. And, you know, he was only back on the island for about a week before he had to go back off. And let me tell you something, when I was talking to her on the telephone and we was planning for the parade, she was telling me that her honey is like, his head's down. I mean, this is bleak stuff these scientists are looking at, and they're knowing that it's going to take millions and millions of years to undo that which has been done and continues to be done. You know, Helen Caldicott, she was right. She was so right. She said as soon as the Chinese get any semblance of a form of what? Democracy or even equality when it comes to purchasing power, that we can all kiss our patooties goodbye, because, see, that's just going to make all the refrigeration, all the heating unit, air conditioning, cell phones, billions and billions and billions and billions more. And, see, America, you know we've been deindustrialized, so these products are not coming from America and being bought. No, they're coming from someplace else. What is it that America has, folks? We got debt. That's what we got. You better look out, folks. I keep playing these, you know. I got my Liberty Bell publication, and what I say I put in writing. And what I know, I also publish. And so we've been busy. You know, it's only fair for us to look at the Congress. You know, Dennis says, go back to a time when you remember America. I go back to a time where I can remember that Americans did mind very much that our politicians were writing checks for more money than they had in the bank, and that they were floating free loans, and that they were speculating on the stock market, and that our number three check kiter is now the Vice President of the United States, but it doesn't seem to bother anybody. Well, it bothers me. Somebody better explain it to me. Why doesn't somebody talk to me about it? Back me down. Is anybody out there want to give me some wisdom as to how it is that we could have these two knuckleheads in the office? I mean, is anybody seeing? I've been telling you about this here. Methyl brain. I say it and I know it. You know, it is true. Our president has fallen off his bicycle a few times too many. He's stumbled. He's done a lot of things. He has all the symptoms. And he had Lyme's disease. You see, these are central nervous. These. You see what I'm saying? This is a brain thing. And he is not firing right, you see. And it's an emotional thing. You see, when I speak of Cheney, I speak of his boss. And that was back when he was a young man. And he was wielding power in the White House. Who was his boss? Donald Rumsfeld. You see, this whole thing is, can't you smell it, folks? Can't you see it? These men, just like David Starr Jordan said, we can't have men who are rankling over defeat, you see. These men haven't gotten over the fact that they lost the Vietnam War, that they had to pull out, that that whole thing in Saigon was an embarrassment meant to the United States, but somehow or another we lull ourselves into another forgetful sleep and we forget. But these men don't forget. Donald Rumsfeld does not forget. And he took the job. And who recommended him? Cheney. Why would Cheney recommend Donald Rumsfeld? Because that's his old boss. He feels beholden. Also, he wanted to give his boss a chance to redeem himself. Now, a lot of what is happening here with the whole impeachment of Cheney is all predicated on this thing in telling the lie. Telling the lie. Sure as I am sitting here speaking to you, Cheney is a liar, a very experienced corporate liar. But there is a trail that can show you that his sympathies are with Saudi Arabia, because that's where his money is invested. Folks, it's real important that you understand that there is a company that was founded on and predicated and dependent upon ripping off and cheating the Arabs out of their oil. And the Judas goat, or that one which is the ambassador for Saudi Arabia to the United States, Prince Bandar, the favorite of the king, has been using his power and his money to compromise the United States and to cover Bush's butt, both senior and junior. You see, Saudi Arabia has had a lot to lose if Iraq had prevailed, you see. But Saudi Arabia has already lost, for their ambassador allowed these men to go play their war games. And so depleted uranium has saturated the Saudi Arabian Sea. And so now that American dream is now the Saudi Arabian nightmare. You got it, America? You can't divorce yourself of the history. You can't divorce yourself of the investments. You can't divorce yourself of the truth. And these men have corporations that they're beholden to. Which ones? You can check them out. Aramco. That's the American Arabian Oil Company. Imagine what kind of vested interest they must have in having gotten rid of Iraqi power and gotten rid of Saddam Hussein, their business partner. You see, this man and his protege Bush, you see, this is... Really have to understand something, folks. You got to go back in history and look at what a vice president was supposed to be. John Nance Garner said, you know, it's about as exciting as a warm pitcher of spit. That's what the vice president position was all about way back when. Then something changed. Oh, my goodness. What changed? Well, now the vice president sits in on all the important meetings. So he not only presides over the Senate, but he also sits in session with the top security advisors and people. And he sits there and he puts his input in. And that's how we have men now dying in Iraq, because Cheney had everything to do with it. It would be a line. I don't blame the president except for being arrogant, and that's the sin of Satan. So, you know, it's all so ugly, folks. And there's no way that Hillary Clinton or Obama, Barack, or any of these other people can fix this. They've got to go after these men. They've got to prosecute them for the liars and murderers that they are. And then we must be put into receivership, and we must have a conservator over us. For Americans have lost their minds, are out of their bodies, and can have no idea how to solve their problems, because it's insurmountable right now. So I see us, you know, and the only thing is, well, what country could actually take care of us? Who'd want us? You see, America, you can close your eyes. And like I said, I'm speaking to America. To all that which is American. George Washington said, we cannot divorce ourselves. I'm just kind of like paraphrasing, but he did say it. You can't divorce yourself of the land in which you live. But if, and this is the big if it offends you, then yes, the American government, this administration offends my sense of decency. It offends my sense of diplomacy. It offends my senses in every which way but loose. It offends God. That's how much. I know that we are getting ready to suffer a big, whoa, that's something else. That's not news. That's demise, you see. And how will it be given to us? Tongue in cheek? A little at a time? Or will it be given to us all at once? Oh, yeah, you recognize this, boss. If you are just getting here, you know what day it is. You know what time it is. This is BBSRadio.com. I am so happy I can't say it enough. BBSRadio.com. And this is Mission Possible Radio Show. And I am your host, Boss RJ. You know, people ask me all the time, well, why you call yourself Boss RJ? Well, you know, it was a term of endearment to be called the unofficial boss, the UN boss. I was the unofficial boss of the universe. That is, I was trying to hold the one's place until the one got here. I have tried to seek out that which is the very best in our society and bring it to you. I am so sure that we will have a guest next Sunday, because yours truly is not going to be here. I'm going to be in Sedona. Will I be in Sedona next? No, 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks? Yeah, I got my friend back here telling me, no, not next week. Next week you'll do your last ditch effort to get as many people to spontaneously move in the direction of the 19.5, move in the direction and find themselves converging on Sedona. I even know I sing the song, all around the world, they'll be coming to Sedona. Yes, all boys and girls will be coming to Sedona to beat the drum. Boom, bum, bum, we're gonna have some fun. Boom, 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 we're gonna beat the drum. Boom, boom, boom. Yes, it's now the last day of September. Try to remember the crime of September, when they did what and told us. Yes, you know, nah, that was a jet fuel. How many are you so sure it was jet fuel now? How many are you so sure? The astounding number of people who are dying from 911, astounding numbers of people who have been haunted by the memories of 911. It will take millions of years to undo that which has been done genetically to our society. I am telling you, just as sure as I'm the boss of the universe unofficially, that detonation was nuclear in its origin, and that dust that all of those people breathe is going to complicate their health. And they are going to be told that out of their minds, they're crazy. Be prepared, folks. They're pulling the plug. They don't want to be responsible for nothing. And they want us to squirm. And while they're doing that, they're going to sell us the rhetoric. They're going to tell us how great this country is. They're going to tell us that they want this form of democracy all over the world. Well, the only reason they want this kind of democracy all over the world is because they want to bondage everybody all over the world. And the world is just too smart to take our kind of democracy and utilize it. It don't work, folks. Now, a lot of people say, well, America, love it or leave it. And I say, oh, I do believe the great patriot said no. The answer is to use it or lose it, love it or lose it, leave it in quiet resignation. And even then, we can't do that. The State Department can put a hold on everybody leaving. Nobody wants us. Who wants Americans? We're full of debt. I can't get over this. You know, gold is going up. It closed. It's now 744. Silver's going up. Are these things that you all are holding America? Oh, what will you use for money? The dollar index is going down, down, and down. Our dollar index used to be what? 1.60. It used to be healthy, folks. For many, many years, decades even, it hovered at 80. It has never sunk below this. It is now at all-time lows. Well, the only way you can bring this dollar back up is for people to want to possess these dollars. Do you want to possess something that could someday be worth nothing? These people are about to, and Bush is preparing to default on all our loans, on all our obligations, and leave the next president with a stunning, stunning, stunning situation. I mean, I'm serious. I don't understand who could step up to the plate and deal with this. This kind of truth and unraveling of the truth is going to take years. That's why they started this. They started this way back in 1999 when Cheney was speaking before the London Institute of Petroleum, when he was letting them all understand what the ramifications of peak oil was all about and how America needed to, with the interest of national countries and national oil companies and foreign subsidiaries, and all of these companies, they came together to figure out how they can occupy this part of the world. And the only reason that the Russians are not really complaining and it's all kind of going along is because we bought up their reserves. Well, that was all those white Russians that lived where? In Dallas and Fort Worth. This is coming back, folks. We're talking all these people that were let out of the prisons, giving their money back, given an opportunity to settle with other countries, and then to come here and to occupy our governments and our universities and our scientific laboratories. This is what happened. You want to talk about the Nazi dysphoria, you could just put your fingers on it, but you got to care. You got to understand that they are out of fighting communism so long that we never really educated ourselves on what fascism is, you see. And so all of those Italian mafioso type people that joined forces with those German type folks and the people that evil supposedly access, of which the United States government was a real big part of before they realized that Russia was getting ready to kick Germany's butt, and that he wasn't going to enslave all those Slavic people. You understand what I'm saying? I can talk nonstop about this stuff because it comes down to an emotional point of view. You can go national if you want to, but Hegelianism and the whole idea of the state and the whole idea of who we are in terms of the state is all very, very much to do with German philosophy. And if you're not studying these things, if you're not looking at these people who actually are trying to implement these philosophies and are trying to create the Machiavellian society, the dog-eat-dog society, the I don't care, you are strong, you lift yourself up from your bootstraps even if you don't have any shoes to pull up from. See, they ask us, they berate us, they tell us that we're not smart. They dumb us down. They say everything is our fault. That is what the evil chief deceivers do all the time. They're always turning it back on us. They're always plotting away. You remember, Bush, this is a man who has brothers that are smarter than him, smart enough to know that you can't run the smartest of your litter. He's got brothers. Brothers who are way smarter than him, but they didn't run for president. No. Just him. And in order for him to get his help, who'd they have to call? They had to call on his daddy, who then called on the ambassador of what? Of Saudi Arabia. This is a true story. You think I'm making it up? These are real people. And they have alliances and love affairs, and they all have their secrets, and they blackmail each other, and they steal our money. My goodness, you all don't have any idea. Banks don't lose money. Banks place money in other places, and then they hide it. You see, they keep people from their money. You see, you can go all the way back to 1933 and smell the similarity of what's getting ready to happen, folks. Oh, yeah, they had a bank holiday. FDR, they get elected president of the United States, and then what? people start running on the bank. And so what does he do? He puts a what? A holiday. Then they extend that holiday. Then they told everybody, all right, everybody, for the good of the country, you got all your life savings. Now you got to hand in your goal. And if you got 2 days to hand in your goal, if you don't hand in your goal, we're going to get people to tell on you. And then if we find out, woe be to you, because you're going to get $10,000. And you know dollars ain't what they are anymore. You know what I'm saying? So there you are, fined, and doing time. And they're laughing because they can do it with the whisk of a presidential pen. Do you understand how it has happened? We are doomed to suffer the same things that our parents suffered because we were not vigilant, because we compromised this great country. We compromised it. And now, if we were to redeem it, it's worth zip. Bupkis. But still the people inside have hope. Yeah, even knowing it will work nothing, America can rise up out of that nothing. Because my father told me, he said, we the unwilling who have been led by the unqualified have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little. We now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. Yeah, that's it. We're coming into October, and this is the harvest, and it must be a harvest of thoughts. We're coming together, people all over. They can't stop the conversations from happening. It is so wonderful. And your spin doctors, they're going to have to deal with the truth. And you know what happens when they have to deal with the truth? They just bring out the ridicule machine. You see, we're not, then they call us crazy or inefficient, or we don't know what we're talking about. But the reality of it is, America don't have much to brag about. The reality of it is, when you look around, everybody's breaking out in bumps and lumps. You think about how many people in your sphere of influence are battling cancer at this very moment. You think of all the children who look so smart and healthy because they be eating all that stupid, dumbed-down junk food. And now we're coming into the holidays, and that's the time when they can impart upon all of us, all kinds of manners of viruses and things. There are all kinds of fad foods out there that have been irradiated and restructured and genetically altered and everything else already. I was looking at this this catalog, these Halloween catalogs. Well, if America was really, really fascist, they'd be doing something. If really the state had our best interest at heart, they'd cancel Halloween this year and say, save your money, everybody. It's against the law to give away candy. I mean, it's like, it's so stupid. And everybody knows. That's why I guess we have All Saints Day, because everybody looks like they're gone to heaven, because ain't nobody holding up their heads, and everybody's got to pray. That's why we have All Saints Day after Hell's Night. Halloween, cancel it. This year, everybody, the boss is saying, don't buy candy. If you want to give the kids something, give them some of them useless dollars that are getting ready to be nothing, and let them go out and buy themselves some good food. Let them go buy some seeds or give away seeds, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, any kind of seeds that the kids can plant and put in the ground and watch grow. Hothouse things, anything. I'm telling you, folks, this is the 21st century. You know, I had a friend, she told me, she says, you know, it's like the 20th century, it all was like 1952, 1962. And it was, and when it added it all up, that 1-9, that gave us an essence of one. So everything was about the one. And you can see how that was. Everything is big conglomerates, Bill Gates, this. Everything is the one, the person, the bigger than life, the mega millions, all the people that they're working for, the CIA, the NSA, the billions and billions of people that are keeping us safe from the enemy. You know who the enemy is. And as soon as we get rid of the CIA, we won't have no more shadow government. But we will have a heck of an unemployment roll. You see, all of these people are working for pensions. All of these people know these pensions ain't coming. So there has to be a coup. There's got to be some kind of showdown, folks, because people are going to start asking, where's my money? Oh, it's gone. Well, you know, they did that to the senior citizens. But can they do that to the veterans? Can they do it to the crazies? Can they do it to the welfare people? Oh, yeah. and soon the checks won't come. I always thought, wow, boss, you ought to do a movie. Maybe somebody out there ought to do, this would be the thriller, The Day the Check Don't Come. Oh, yeah, the day, you remember California when they was handing out IOUs? You remember how everybody, that was a temporary thing. Imagine. I mean, I would hate to be a post office person. I'd hate to be the postman. Where's my check? Oh, I don't know. It didn't come. What you mean it didn't come? Okay. Well, and then all of a sudden you call up your worker, and your worker says, well, the checks didn't come. What do you mean the checks didn't come? Well, you got to come in. Everybody's got to come in. Could you imagine everybody having to reapply? Everybody understand your rights have been compromised. And how you behave in this situation, they're going to hurt you if you start to revolt. They're going to put a whammy on you. Why? Because it's just not the time to be asking where your money is. It's not your money. You see, that's why they call it bills, dollar bills. That's why they call it notes, Federal Reserve notes. They don't call it money. They call it bills. They call it bucks. They call it currency. But it has no value whatsoever except what they say it has. And, you know, now you can't even get the index. They won't even tell you how many dollar bills they're printing, folks, you see. So they can make it look as sweet as they want, but that blood on that dollar, oh, you'll be able to see it. It's getting redder and redder and redder. And what happens to blood after it hits the air? It turns brown. It's no longer green. It can no longer work for you. It just clots up the system. Oh, sure. I'm being poetic. Sure. Every Sunday. But this is the times that I'm living in. I'm living in a time where people are coming back from wars and they want us to be happy about the fact that they look at them like heroes. How can I look at them like heroes when I didn't ask them to go over there and to kill all those people over there or to police action all of those people over there or to steal their oil? I didn't tell them to do this. I didn't tell them to put on a uniform so that they could go to college or they could feed their kids. It takes so much courage, folks, not to put on a uniform, not to be in the reserves, to choose to stay at home, to take care of community, to work and to make things move and to survive in these uncertain times. Oh, my goodness. And then to have some crazy veterans with arms all blown off and everything else wanting me to thank them for going over there. I can't do it. I can't do it. The boss can't do it, and none of us should be doing it. We didn't ask them to go over there. They volunteered, or they were in the reserves, and they made a deal. And a fair exchange never was no robbery. And I can only say that I want you all home. I think it's a raw deal. I think it's a stupid thing for you to be over there. And it's hurting us, and it's hurting you. But still, don't ask me to be proud of you all. How can I be proud of you when you're going against the very thing that God says we are not supposed to do? Very clearly, all of you who are Christians, who call yourself in the life, that follow Jesus or Yeshua or in any way, shape, or form, you understand how can you straddle the fence and be for murder, whether it be state-sanctioned or whether you think that it is a holy crusade, and that these people deserve to be killed. Christians, you are hypocrites. And all you people running and all these faith-based initiative programs that Bush has put together, y'all ought to be ashamed of yourselves and what you're asking of this president or any president to do. You should be ashamed of yourself. There's only one way to define life, and that is that you possess the breath. And that you can breathe on your own. And that you are in communion with the One. Oh, yes. I am adamant about this, folks. Define life as the absence of death. That's it. And anything else? Well, You compromise that which has been here longer than anything, longer than the sun has been in the sky, the moon is fragmented from another galaxy, or even this here planet as we speak, or even as man in all his glory, which in the image of God has a story to tell. We have compromised ourselves with all our 20th century myopic, me, 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 what about me, I. Well, now, folks, we're into that which is the 2002. That's two entities coming together. That's two people beginning to communicate. The spontaneous mass motion of approval to rest in peace. Not in pieces, in peace. This is the same way to talk. This is the only thing that we should be spreading. This is the only thing that we should be doing. America, get prepared to do with less. Don't get caught up in trying to do more. What's on your plate is on your plate. And for all of you who feel like you've been duped, remember, if you signed those papers and you took that money on mama's house, on the house that you inherited, and then you inflated that price and you let them evaluate your house for a higher price than you know it's worth, and now the bubble is bursting in all the different markets, you're not a victim. Oh, no. You are an example of what is going to be our cross to bear. But now I've got to understand all of you who squandered your fortune. And those of us who have been wise have to now bail you all out. Well, Bush had us bail us out in 92, right before he lost. He thought he's going to get another 4 years, Bush Sr. I'm talking about. Y'all don't know how hard and upset he was that y'all didn't vote for him and that Clinton got in, even though he knew it was necessary. Because, you see, it's the powers that be up top that say to America, I don't care who the president is, as long as it don't lead and you follow what I tell you to do. That's why you don't see much difference between the Democrat and Republican Party. And that's why the very best of the Democratic Party is being kept from this race, you see. They want it to be the abomination, as I call it, which is Obama, and the silliness of Hillary. And see, she's the cover-up. She's the mafia mom. She's the babysitter. That woman been dealing with the prosecutorial information of the Oval Office since she was out of Yale Law School and was over there during the whole Senate when the House of Representatives and the Senate were getting ready to impeach Nixon. You see, she knows exactly what was happening. She knows exactly where the money is. That whole Vince Foster thing, everybody has to understand. That man, he didn't commit suicide. He was murdered. He was murdered ceremoniously. And I'm telling you that it is still open for investigation, folks, because it's all about the money. Vince Foster, Ron Brown, the Secretary of Commerce. And then you look at Nancy Pelosi, then you look at Dianne Feinstein, and you look at these senators, and you tell me that they're not sitting on the truth, that they're never going to tell you. They're hoping that they can die with it. But the sins that they have committed, oh, I'm going to haunt them with them before they die. And they are going to hear them chapter and verse. And we are going to speak the truth, and we will not omit history, that we will turn the telescope back on these people, and we will begin to look at all the things that they have overlooked and that they have been willing to, oh, that's nothing, we'll take care of that. Oh, that's nothing, oh, that's not so bad. Oh, you mean they poisoned a whole bunch of people and a few people died? Well, it was only a few people. Oh, 914 of our American citizens are laying out, rotting to death in South America somewhere? Oh, that's okay. Just bring them back in body bags and we'll just forget it. Oh, you mean the mayor was shot? Oh, well, forget it. Oh, you mean the black community sent them? Oh, you think this is in retaliation for Joan? Oh, I know. But we can't talk about that, you see. Oh, zebra killing? So you have to understand who Pelosi is. You have to understand who Feinstein is. You have to understand who these women are. Oh, yeah. It's raining here, folks. It's raining here. I control the weather, folks. I control it. I know when I'm telling the truth. We need this rain to make it grow. We need the rain to make things flow. The truth flows from me. I'm telling you things. This isn't conspiracy. This is not conspiracy. This is good investigatorial journalism and mediaship. This is what you need to hear. You need to make sense of it all. You know, I have a publication now called The Liberty Bell. You know, we published Mae Brussels' unpublished journal about the whole thing about the whole LSD. Our government dosed a whole lot of the very best of us. Our government gave drugs to the very best of us, compromised the very best of us, just so that they could get in power, so little slime balls like Bush could sit in the Oval Office. This man has no idea about foreign policy. He even said so to Bandar when Bandar put all these people together to help him win this race. And then they stole it. They stole it. But because they're all reptilian blue bloods, even Gore, he's born on my birthday. I don't know what's wrong with him. And I don't understand how y'all can buy Clinton. This man been a drug runner and a gun runner. I'll go to jail. I'm not being seditious. I am not being libelous. I'm just telling you all the truth. How can these people be so close to ugly all through the Iran-Contra, running drugs through the Four Corners, MENA, Arkansas? Do your homework. How can this whole thing with Sedona and all this money, I'm talking about Michelle Sedona, the guy who was the banker for the Pope, and then all these, the Boys Town and the Chicago and all the money that comes into the Vatican and how Vatican's a nation and how it occupies it. Why we're all comfy cozy with the Pope and the Queen. Oh, come on, folks, don't you see it? Man, we don't need no more. We need to even the score and level the playing field, folks. This game's not fair. And the only reason it's not fair is because you guys ain't standing up. You got to step up to the plate. You got to come up to the mound. You got to throw the pitch. And I'm asking all you journalists out there and everybody that's got a piece of this story, and you all, every last one of you do. See, that's what's happening, and that's the beauty of the 2008 race has got to be about. Let us all voice our opinion of the experience of what it is to be American. For all of us to tell our stories to the world so that we bring no more of this sham democracy that can't even hold us up to any more countries. We're hypocrites, and we're allowing hypocrites to lead us. And we're allowing hypocrites to define our policy and our foreign policy. And we have hypocrites who are now allowed to resign their offices. And other hypocrites are being asked to take the place of hypocrites. There are no good people coming, folks, because we're not stepping up to the plate. And the only way to step up to the plate is to become involved. I am asking you. I am begging you to register to vote. I am daring you to become a Republican or a Democrat. I am asking you to throw your votes, to work in the caucuses, to make this a wide-open convention, something that we can be proud of. When we're all sitting in those fallout shelters, we can say we did our best. We did our best, you see. That's what has to happen, folks. The spontaneous mass motion of approval for us to do what is necessary and the liberty to do that. It's Tiananmen Square. It's democracy. You know? Not a demonocracy. I don't know what Bush believes when he says he believes in God. It is a tricky thing, for their ceremonies and ancestral ways lead them to do such pagan things and to behave in such pagan and barbaric ways. Can't you see it, folks? Don't you want to call it for what it is? Don't you want to be proud? Don't you want to look your children in the eye and tell them we got rid of the boogeyman? We got rid of these people who were choking off your very life, squandering your wealth and fortune, taking away the very air that you breathe, compromising all our lands, flooding the world with misnomers about what Islam is and who these people are. Now all of a sudden we're getting ready to go to Persia. Don't you smell Alexander the Great? Can't you see these people leading us off to ridiculous moronic crusades, blabbering and blabbing all the way, telling us that they know what's right? Oh, I'm warning you, America, it ain't gonna wash. I'm telling you, America, you're in for it. And I gotta suffer just like all of you. You know, it's kind of like when I was a kid. My sister's kids always, always never following the rules. I follow the rules, but when it's time to get the punishment, we all got punished. Because I don't rat on anybody. When the enemy comes, I'm going to tell him, yeah, I can't say that I was not part of it. Yeah, I'm talking on the phone, and I'm driving in a car, and I'm living good over here. I got clothes on my back, and I got a little money in the bank. Yeah, I can't say that America has been bad to me. But what they getting ready to do, and how we're going to have to pay for all of those times that we did have, it comes on the backs of all of those people who have come before us. It comes on the back of all these foreign people who we have killed. Oh, America, the great work that these men are doing. And these corporations like Bechtel, oh, can't you smell them? Can't you smell and see the blood on their hands and on their lips? Oh, oh my goodness. This is BBSRadio.com. You're listening to Mission Possible, and I am the boss, RJ, and I am making these for the archives, and I am playing them back, and people are loving them, having somebody tell me, boy, you don't even ever take a breath, and yet I listen to them, and you make absolute sense. I says, yes. I'm in the spirit, and I've been waiting to say these things. These things need to be said, and said loudly, clearly, and over again. You know, look at Cheney. Dennis Kucinich, he's right. We must impeach Cheney. He's just a heartbeat away from the Oval Office, and he has lied us into a war. He has bought back his old mentors. These guys worship each other. But think about it, folks. If Cheney was to come clean and to tell you everything, where would he go in the world? If we was to tell you how many women he has wronged, where would he go in the world? If every woman who knew of this man, both carnally and associated with him sexually, ever stood up and spoke, we'd all be aghast at what they would say. These are evil men, and they are planning evil things. And that is why we must surround them with love. It is what they don't understand. It's what every person who lacks self-awareness never understands is love. 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 Yeah, that's all it is, folks. It's all you need. Love. And compassion. And understanding. And foresight. To see the writing on the wall. We can no longer call ourselves great. The only one who is great is God. And God would not like and does not like what's going on. And so therefore, boss, RJ, both spiritually and politically, I'm begging you to, number one, respect God with all your might, and to uphold our freedom, both yours singularly and mine, and together let us begin to do what is righteous in the world and no more fear, folks, just love and joy. So I'm telling you, it goes fast. It is done. It is a deal. It is signed in heaven. It is done, folks. And as I speak, gold goes up to 745. The future of our money is in peril, folks. So I'm going to tell you one more time. Don't wait to pass it on to your children in inheritance. Give it to them now so that they can pay their bills, so that they can get out of. If you've got money, Mom and Dad, don't let those loans go another day. Pay them off. Pay them off. Make those college educations that you're giving your kids a gift from you that cannot be taken back, or they cannot pay for it. Do not indenture your children into the 23rd century with debt. That's what our government is doing. We have enough with them having to pay for this here war. So we can't go to war with Iran. We're not smart enough. We ain't rich enough. And we're not old enough. And we can't do what we know we're going to do to these people. And so, America, pray that someone will intervene, that someone will come to the front and stop these madmen. They love it. They're laughing. They're looking for the person that's going to stop them. They're daring us to step up to the plate. It's time, folks. And with that, I'm going to leave you with a song. I'm going to leave you with a song, the only song I know I want to play for you tonight. I'm going to tell you, it's called Love and Joy. And when we go out of this, it'll be 7 o'clock. I love you all. Have a good week. All I'm going to tell you is, peace. Go in peace. I didn't know you run so fast. Might fall on the ground. Yeah, we're going to Sedona. Go ahead, I dare you. Get in the car. Yeah. Come on, October 11th. Show up there on Thursday. Let's crash that place. I want to meet you all.
And your land outside the wall. Here's the sun, there's the moon. You know stars haven't all to fall.
One, here's two hearts together. Don't you think they stand a chance to destroy the minds we born? Call the game romance. Love and joy.
Love and joy.
Your future is before you, your past is yesterday. So give up for tomorrow and do that thing today.
Love and joy.
Love and joy, love and joy, love and joy.
Love and joy.
Love and joy, love and joy, love and joy.
Love and joy.
Love and joy. Now all it needs is you.
All it needs
is you.
Up on yonder hill. All I have is a one-room shack way down on Hippie Hill.
And Martin Luther King said, we shall overcome. But you have to have it together before it will be done.
Love and joy.
Love, love, love and joy.
Love and joy.
Love, love.
Yeah. You've been listening to Mission Possible. Yes, on bbsradio.com. And all I can say is love and joy. And until next week. And don't forget to listen to the Inside Hour. Dr. Len will be back on Tuesday, same time as this show, only on Tuesday. I love you all. Aloha.